Well, good morning to you. How are you today? Is anybody cold right now? You cold? If you're, put up your hand. Okay. People on that row, slide closer to those people right now. All right? We need togetherness. How many were on the freeze out? How many guys on the freeze out? Are you warm now? More importantly, are you dry now? Who would have thought you'd need a paddle inside a tent? But we needed one. We needed one desperately. It was a great, great time, wasn't it, Daniel? One more time. And it was food. And the great thing is to watch the boys and men be boys and men in every definition thereof. To have freedom out there like they're supposed to have sometime in their lives. It's a great thing. Doug, where are you? Come on up here. That's our good friend, one of our former pastors with Sycamore. I think it's still on. Nope, there you go. Last weekend, I was away. I serve on Doug's board for his ministry, Your Next Step, and I want him to come and give a word of welcome. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with Your Next Step right now.
Well, thank you, Dusty. We're glad to be here today. I'm here for a soccer tournament with our 12-year-old. So we had two games yesterday, a game early this morning. We had our freeze out this morning. And God's doing some great things. In Your Next Step, we're a discipling ministry. I'll just tell you one quick story. This summer I was in Ethiopia and Rwanda, and we were training 200 pastors in each area. And in Rwanda, there was a genocide in 1996 where over 1 million people were killed in 1 year. And one of the pastors that I met, his family had been killed, and his wife and two daughters. And he hid in a swamp for 41 days and no food, and eventually escaped. And 7 years had passed. The 25 men that had committed the murder in his village were arrested, and they were going to be released if they told their part in the genocide. And this pastor, he was kind of hoping that would happen, that they'd be released and they'd be murdered. And said the Lord spoke to him and said, you've got to do something about it. And so he went to that prison, and he asked those men to forgive him for his bitterness and anger toward them over the past 7 years. And they forgave him and asked why he would do that, and he had an opportunity to lead the 25 to Christ. That then turned where he began, they were released, and he held a conference. Here's a good conference to hold with the 25 murderers and 25 victim families. He said the first day of that conference, it was a little bit tense. I could imagine so. But after 5 days, the two groups forgave one another and purchased a farm where they farm today, and they supply food for the children of their country. And the country of Rwanda has embraced that model from this pastor as their model for their nation to bring healing and reconciliation. So that's part of what we do with Your Next Step, is go train guys like that pastor in Rwanda. So we're just excited to be a part of what God's doing.
Bless you, Doug. Of course, if you need some more information about Your Next Step, if you'd like to be a part of that ministry financially, or possibly help out in the future on one of their trips that they do in some way, need to see me or see Doug. We'd be glad to hook you up. John, if you could find that slide for our theme verse, if you can find it for me. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And while you hunt for that, any of you afraid here today? Do you have any fears in your life? Anybody? You know, every one of us will have our hand up. We're all afraid of something, aren't we? And it's not just a euphemism. Well, I'm afraid that might happen or that might happen. Fear comes into our lives. Issues of health. You know, is this disease going to get me? I know it runs in my family. Family issues. Are they a place of fear at times? Well, that crazy brother-in-law of mine. I'm telling what he's going to do. Or, you know, just fill in the blank. What about my children? Am I going to be able to adequately take care of my parents as they age and do right by them? Relationship issues. Living in fear of that. I know there's one or two of us sitting here today that, you know, there's some of you women that are saying, I'm not going to take a chance on another man in my life. I've had it. Guys could say the same thing about women. Have you thought these things before? Are you afraid of war? Yeah. Let me tell you, one thing that we've not had to fear in this nation, you know, the most of the world, in fact, there are very few places in the world that have what we have, the safety that we live in. You know, wondering at any moment something can break out. You know, just name one of the African countries. Just name one of in the Middle East, the countries there. Is a rocket going to come into my bedroom tonight? Just think of that. Whichever side you happen to be on whatever conflict that's going on in the world. But some of us have thought about those issues. The whole 9/11 thing. You know, Osama decides to make another appearance, and you know they're supposedly others like the Christmas Day what are they calling him, the Fruit of the Loom bomber. You know. But a serious issue. Or how about money? Has anybody allowed that to bring fear to your life? The economy. Well, I want to try to tell you this story in a brief manner. Today we're going to talk about fear. And our theme verse of the year is 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Last week we talked about risk. Risk, being a part of this. Actually risking in the name of Jesus. Today we're going to talk about fear and the battle that we have with fear. None of us can conquer fear on our own, can we? Can you do it by yourself? There's enough things that can come into your life that will just overwhelm you unless you have some help from elsewhere. Like that old preacher said years ago, the old evangelist, he said, I need the wind from elsewhere to blow through my life. And that wind he was talking about was the wind of the Spirit of God. Fear. Now, I ask you to turn to this. You can you can put your finger on it and say, I'm going to read that this afternoon. But let me walk you through this story as I tell this story. The children of Israel and the Philistines are encamped against one another. It's been going on for a while. There they are on one side and the other. The Philistines have a giant, a champion. The guy is at least 9 feet tall. Now imagine that. And we're probably not talking about any bean pole here. We're talking about proportionately 9 feet tall. And he's threatening every day, coming out, back and forth, saying, why don't you send your champion out and we'll fight the battle? We won't have to do all of this bloodshed. Of course, the winner gets the spoils and the servitude of the others. Well, David, son of Jesse, has three of his brothers that are part of the army of Israel. And he's carrying things back and forth, wanting to get involved in things there. His brothers are saying to him, go back home. You're just a troublemaker. You're being our little brother. And you're not telling the truth. He's carrying stuff from his father Jesse to them, food and other provisions. Well, he hears what the giant says, what Goliath says. And his thought, and I'm putting this in the Revised Dusty Version here today. His thought is, how can you guys let that guy profane the name of God again and again and again? Which he did. So, Saul hears about him, King Saul, who was there. He calls David in, and that David wants to volunteer and go out and fight him. So David's just a little guy, teenager. He tries to put on Saul's armor. Well, imagine that. Imagine some of you guys have children that come in and put on daddy's shoes and daddy's coat, what it looks like. Well, that's the picture you have. Finally, that ain't going to happen. So, he has a sling. He goes to the brook there, chooses 5 stones. And let me read you this part of the story. Verse 32. Don't worry about a thing, David told Saul. I'll go and fight this Philistine. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replies. There's no way you can come against the Philistine. You're only a boy. He's been in the army since he was a boy. But David persists. I've been taking care of my father's sheep, he said. When the lion and the bear come to steal the lamb from the flock, I go after them with a club, take the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of God. Lord, save me from the claws of the lion, and he will save me from this pagan Philistine. Saul finally considered, all right. So when he goes in, gets the armor, it doesn't fit. He said, I'm not used to them, in verse 39. So he took them off. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them in his shepherd's bag. Then armed only with his shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across to fight Goliath. Little valley in between there. If you've seen the terrain of this and studied the way they were encamped against each other, it goes down into that little that gully, that plateau area that's down below. He goes down there. Now, some commentators say, well, why did he choose 5 stones? You can chase this one on your own, but one commentator, I like this, he said, because he knew that Goliath had 4 brothers. Now, I can't verify that, but I like the way that sounds, don't you? He was prepared. He was prepared. Verse 41. So Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bare ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. Am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? Imagine this. Sling and his shepherd's staff. You're coming at me like I'm a dog. This is an insult. And he cursed David by the names of his gods. His gods. You see, this wasn't about David and Goliath. Was it? This was a throwdown between the Lord God, Yahweh, and everybody else that raises up his head and says he's God. Come over here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, shouted Goliath. David shouted in reply, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied, and today the Lord will conquer you. I'll kill you and cut off your head. You know, he comes out, he tells him how he's going to do it. Then I'll give your dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know what? That David is a great warrior? No, the whole world will know that the Lord does not need weapons to rescue his people. It is his battle, it is not ours. The Lord will give you to us. You believe that? Theme is fear now today. Fear. As Goliath moved close to attack, David ran quickly out to meet. Can you see this? Goliath's coming. Can you imagine what's going through Goliath's mind? The boy's running at him. He's crazy. I can spit on him and knock him down. And he's running after at me. Can you imagine? He's getting that sling ready. And he's running. He's coming at him. He believes he can win. And reaching into his shepherd's bag, taking out a stone, he hurled it from his sling, and he hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in. I think he had a pretty good arm there, Rock. It sunk into his forehead. Can you imagine the thud as he hits the ground? What do you think interview time was like on the Philistine side? As they see their giant in a cloud of dust fallen in the valley of God's victory. Goliath stumbled, fell face down to the ground, so David triumphed over the Philistine giant with only a stone and a sling. And since he had no sword, he ran over, pulled Goliath's sword. You know the old saying, I'm going to jerk your arm off and beat you to death with it? Well, it wasn't exactly that. I'm going to pull your sword out and cut your head off with it. But do you know what was waiting on the other side if this had not happened? Utter defeat, death, and servitude for all of those people. Now, why to read this story today? Fear is a problem in all of our lives. Agree? Even for the macho men, even for a country that thought it could buy its way out of any crisis. You follow me? Goliath was a mountain of a man. He had no doubt that he would defeat David. It wasn't a lack of confidence that defeated him, was it? It was the source of that confidence. He was depending on his gods. How well did they do that day? That's right, not too good. You see, the very nature of fear is that it's unpredictable. I want you to read that story this afternoon when you get home. When you read it up to the time of David coming into the story, all you can feel is fear. Goliath is trading on fear. The giants of fear in your life trade on the fact that you are in fear. Secondly, fear creates false giants, doesn't it? How big was Goliath at the end of it? Well, he measured 9 feet. Well, let's see. Get a few more. I'm 6'1", and maybe, I don't know. Gravity's getting me. But measure on up there. He's 9 feet there, but at the end of the story, he's 9 feet there. Of course, unless you measure him after he was relieved of his head. I don't know how big the head was. 9 feet. Fear creates false giants in your life. Are there some things you're battling against that come to you again and again in your life, that come to you in your marriage, that come to you in your family, that come to you from things from your childhood that just keep overwhelming you? Number 3, fear is paralyzing. Fear will absolutely paralyze your life because you don't know which way to go. And those who trade on fear, who are the world, the flesh, and the devil, depend on that. That you'll be paralyzed. That you can't move. And then you're open prey. Because you can't make a decision. You don't know which way to go. And then you become a sitting duck. Let me tell you, Goliath had gotten away with this all of his life. Until he came face to face, not with David, God. He had defied, he had shaken his fist before God. He had damned the name of God. God had enough. So he decides to use a little boy to go out and defeat him. He can do that anytime he wants because he's God. Can he? Do you believe he can? Can he change circumstances? Better believe it. He's God. Fear produces shame, doesn't it? Can you feel shame in the story? As part of what's going on, and we don't have near the time today to chase this, but part of what I feel going on with David's three brothers is they really don't want David there to witness what a shameful situation is going on. I mean, Saul is tucked back in his quarters, tail tucked between his legs. He doesn't know what to do. The great king Saul, nor does anyone else. Fear produces shame in your life. You got any shame? Come on now. Some things, it's beat you again and again and again. Some old stuff. And you're saying, But Dusty, it's real. I know it's real. All the people whose blood were on Goliath's sword, it was real. But there comes a time for it to stop. To say, no more. No more. I'm not living that way anymore in my life. Who eliminated the fear? That's right, Daniel. God struck the death blow to fear. David steps into the battle scene and you know, he's not like, you know, Mighty Mouse, here I am to save the day, you know, that kind of thing. That isn't the story. That is not the storyline. The storyline is he steps in, he says, God's bigger than he is. And I'm with God. Because everything he did from the point when he showed up was nothing but reflect God. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. And whose power was shown that day? God's power. You see, there was a God-sized problem there, and it was going to take a God-sized solution. So where do you get God-sized solutions? Do you have them? Oh, I got one right here in my back pocket. You know, it's like a lot of us, we show up at the fight on our power and we've showed up with a knife at a gunfight. Can't be. God's able. God's able. He allowed a little boy to slay a giant with a stone. What might he be able to do for you? Finally, God requires one thing from us. One thing. Faith. That's it. I'm going to trust you, God. Here it is. And faith means I'm going to take action. I'm going to allow God to take action through me. Hence, as Goliath moved closer for the kill, David runs out to meet him. You'll see David standing on the sideline trying to talk the giant to death. He's not over there making bad faces at him, trying to scare him. He doesn't bring in his negotiating team. He runs in the name of God with what God had put in his hand. See, God didn't ask him to be somebody else. He let him be the shepherd boy. And what does every shepherd boy know how to do? He can use a slingshot. And he did. David believed God was with him. And why did he believe that? Because he was. God's all over the story. You know, how many of our problems, of our fears, is it just God knocking, saying, I want to get in your life some way? And the avenue that he'll ride in on is through a need, through a fear that's bigger than us. David was willing to take a risk, wasn't he? last week, risk. Remember Paul? Remember Barnabas taking a big risk on Paul? David took action. What's your primary fear today? What are you afraid of? Just as one quick note of application here, and there are many that we could have. So many of us are worried about the economy, but we aren't. Our source of our worry and our fear is not the economy in Washington, but the economy at our kitchen table. Can I get a witness on that? Huh? Are we together on that? All right. Now, if that's the primary fear, who has the solution? Thank you, Daniel. Have you started with his solution for your economy? Now, many of us, the way we fix it is say, God bless me, and then maybe I'll respond to you in some way. That isn't how it works. God says, trust me first. And how do you show that you're trusting God and His economy? You do it His way. Well, let me just make one quick application here. That means one dime out of every dollar that comes into our lives, first and foremost. All of it belongs to Him, by the way. All of it does. But that first, the first, not the last, the first belongs to Him. That's just one of the fears where you take a risk. And you say, what if I don't have it? Well, you know, God can provide anytime He wants to. We live by faith every day, don't we? Who gave you the job you have today? Who provides for your needs every day? It is God. Fear. One other quick application on fear. There are probably a few of us sitting here today that have had some fears since childhood about trusting people. You got hurt. And it has affected all of your relationships ever since. Because you see, part of love, really being able to love somebody, is trust. It means giving yourself away. And when you're drawn back, and you look at every relationship, thinking, it can't be. Because what if they hurt me? There's someone bigger you got to trust. And that's God. Allow Him to heal you. Allow Him to come into your life. I'm talking to Christian people here. Some of us have known the Lord for a long time. I have a family member. He's gone to be with the Lord now, but I remember her words to me. She was still reliving things that happened to her as a child. It's time to take up that sling in the name of Jesus and run towards that fear and put it to death. Today. Do you believe God's big enough? Or is your fear too big for God? Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. Lord, for what we see that happened in this story that we retold today. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for power and strength. And Lord, while many around us live in fear, Lord, you have not called on us to live in fear. You have called on us to live in the power of God. And not just talk, but real power and real strength. And I pray that for us as a body. Lord, today I want to thank you for this group of people that is gathered here today in your name and in your power. And I'm praying for each one, each family. Lord, that there's some of us that are here today that are going through very difficult circumstances. In some cases, fear has just overcome us. We pray, God, today as we lay that fear at your feet and we say, take it, Lord. Take it. Come. And the space that fear occupied in our lives, we come and say to you, come and occupy us and be Lord of us. Lord Jesus, right now, we just intercede for many. Lord, the worries, the fears, I'm asking you to come. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. The altar's open. We've got some brochures on your next step. I'll put them right up here if some of you want to get one. Thank you, Mr. Close. Jason shared with me. He had his hours cut this week at work. I want to pray for that situation. Anyone else have a financial situation you want us to pray with you about right now? Huh? Anybody? Just four of us? Okay. Some of you are waving now, I see. Okay. Now I want you to know as I'm praying for you in this, I'm praying for you to start doing it God's way. Okay? All right? If you're not already doing that, you're doing it God's way. So let's pray right now. Lord, we pray for these needs. These are financial needs, but God, they're needs at our dinner table. I'm asking you that you'll come right now with your power, that you'll provide. Lord, that you can do anything you choose. Lord, you're attracted to faithfulness. Lord, I pray we'll be found faithful and attractive to your blessing in our lives. Thank you. And Lord, we pray for our many brothers and sisters in Haiti today. And all that's going on there, I'm asking you that needs will be met. Provision made. I thank you for what you're doing now. And what's going to be done. And may the gospel go forth in power. In the name of Jesus, we pray. If you're agreed in prayer, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Go in His grace.